the text we had earlier read. But will you read it again? We've come to the final hours of our Lord's life on earth. His ministry of 3 years had come to a conclusion. Now this is the last day before his crucifixion. Verse 32 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I shall pray." And he takes with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and said unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little, fell on the ground, and prayed to the Father, that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And he comes and finds the three, Peter, James, and John, sleeping. And he said unto Peter, "Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst thou not watch 1 hour with me? Watch ye and pray, lest ye fall into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. When he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither did they know what to answer him. Verse 41. And then he cometh again the third time, and they were asleep. And he said to them, "Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Look, he that betrayeth me is at hand." Amen. Do you catch a sense of the drama of the moment? As I said, the Lord has come to the very last day before his death. And it was night time. They had just finished the Lord's Supper, which we celebrated and remembered at the Lord's table this morning. Oh, what a moment. Can you sense that kind of spirit and the atmosphere around the garden? This garden is still available to those of us who go to the Holy Land. It is not very much of a garden. Some old trees, olive trees, said to be 1,000 or 2,000 years old. But it was there, the drama of our Lord's last evening with the disciples, having inaugurated the sacrament. Do you know what is a sacrament? A holy observance. And there are two sacraments. One is baptism, which admits each of us into God's kingdom when we believe. And secondly, the sacrament of the Holy Supper, also known as the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. So now the Lord Jesus had inaugurated, established this as the second sacrament with the promise, I shall not eat and drink in this manner with you until the kingdom of God come. Oh, what a promise. Never forget, dear friends, whenever we come to the Lord's table, it is not just a remembering Him, but it is a thankfulness that He has made us part of His kingdom, soon to come, to be established on this planet Earth. And then we shall be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know this. So there is a looking forward and as well as a looking backward. The backward is to see how our Lord suffered for us. Sometimes I wonder, why is it He had to be on earth for 3 years and before that 30 years? Why so long? When all He needed was to die on the cross, why didn't He just come and die? Ah, dear friends, in John's Gospel, and I'll read to you, it says that our Lord Jesus did many other things which are not recorded in this Bible, but these are recorded that you might believe in Jesus. What are the records? Do you know? We read the Bible. And then we recall all the events. How our Lord healed the sick, fed the 5,000, raised the dead. Amazing. Never before, never after. Only Jesus. Who was He? And on that night, He had come to the very end of His ministry. So we are entered into that event together with Him as we read. Now, ahead of Him was betrayal. Ah, dear friends, do you know what is betrayal? You have a trusted friend who tells on you and betrays you and puts your life at stake. In this case, betrays his own Lord. Who did? Judas Iscariot. We all know that name. So, please understand, we are now into the very last moments of our Lord's life and ministry on planet Earth. Having established the Holy Supper, He led His disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane and says, let us all pray here. And three trusted disciples went with Him further in, deeper into the garden. They were the dependable ones, except on this night. Sit here, were His instructions. I'll go deeper in to pray. And when he came out, they were asleep. Three times. But beyond that is the much, much worse experience. To be let down by your friends is one thing, but here was a betrayal by a kiss of his own disciple, Judas. And the betrayal led to arrest and mockery of a trial. Do you know what is the trial? Here we go to court. We stand in front of the judge, who is a fair person, we hope, in Singapore. But there was no fairness. It was a mockery. The Jews were out to kill him. And it led to his condemnation. You see, these are the main points you should know. We are now into the very last event in the life of our Lord Jesus, who came to be our substitute, to take your place and mine, to suffer the death. Before that, the humiliation, condemnation to follow, followed by execution. You know what is execution? To have your life taken from you by the most cruel method ever invented by evil men. There are many ways of execution. You know, in China, one bullet is enough. It's not bad. It's not bad compared to this. One bullet and you finish. Or in Saudi Arabia, decapitation. Off with the head. They finish. In this case, crucifixion. Ah, dear friends, you cannot imagine. And there was this the thing that Jesus thought about. Yes, I suppose. He would consider, I'm going to the cross. But the one great problem and the great weight of suspense and horror that awaited him was what? Do you know? Do you know? Oh, dear friends, I always remember the cantata by John Steiner. A cantata about the crucifixion. And one line goes like this. All the sins of men since the world began, they were laid on you, dear Lord. And they sang it out. Can you follow? All the sins of men from the creation until then, and all the future sins of men, you and mine, were laid on him. And Jesus took them for us. He said, how can it be? How can it be? Answer is yes. With men, impossible. But there was Jesus Christ. Came for that one purpose, it says. He, for the joy that was set before him, he saw down history that he would come. He would die. Take your sins and my sins. And be executed for the sins of you and me. Although it was for the pretext of his condemnation was he opposed the authorities. And he claimed to be God's son. And they put him to death. So came the execution. All the events of the night. Firstly, the agony of prayer. Betrayal. Mockery of a trial. Condemnation and execution. Then came what? We are going ahead of time. Burial. Yes. We saw his empty tomb when we went to the Mount of Olives. They put him in a newly prepared tomb, when no man had used. According to prophecy, our Lord went there. And then came the vindication that God the Son came and took our sins and overcame that load of sin for us, rose from the dead, victorious. So this is the whole scenario, if you may call it. But on that night, Jesus went into that garden and suffered agony. You say, was he afraid to die? Answer is no. Did he feel the pain of the coming crucifixion? You know what is crucifixion? To have nails put into your hands and feet, and to be hung, suspended on the wooden cross, and there to hang until you die. You know, it is extremely painful to take one breath, because you are suspended. And how do you breathe? How do you breathe? Through the lungs and the chest. And how does the chest expand when you are hung like that? So this was the prospect coming. Jesus prayed, Father, if it be possible, take this away. I don't like it. What was it that he was concerned about? Do you know? Can you guess? He said, must be the nails. What do you think? Oh, tonight is the night for contemplation. But it was not the physical death. Of course, it was painful. And who wants to go through it? No, but for the Lord, the thought of sins. Do you know what sins are? If we can depict sins in physical fashion, oh, they are the most horrible, filthy, dirty, ugly concoction you can ever think of, loaded onto you, and you take it, and you are exhibited as a sinner and then executed. The thought of sin, the prospect of all this filth. Whose filth? It includes you, yours and mine. And for that reason, going through this record of Jesus suffering and agony in the garden, we must pause and ponder. Think, well, I go to church, I read about it, but does it impact on me? This is what we have to ask ourselves. Does it affect me at all? Do you sympathize? That's not enough. Of course you should. We all should sympathize with the Lord. But more important is to recognize that it was for me. Yes, for me. Each one think for yourself. Why did Jesus die? For me. He went to the cross for all the sins of men ever since the world began. Until then, until the future, until he comes again. All the sins of men were placed on him. One man. How can it be? Yes. He is the God-man, and he did it for you and for me, for which we must contemplate, recognize, appreciate, and remember. Oh, it was my sin. All the things I ever did, the evil thoughts, the evil, the lustful deeds and activities I indulged in, whatever they are. When we think of it, we say, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me. coming to such a service and just reading it as a page of literature, it doesn't do you much good, I say, but all of us think. Jesus went to the cross and he says, Father, if it be possible, take it away. I don't want all these sins of people put on me. But not as I will, but as you will. You have sent me for this one purpose. He, for the joy that was set before him, he looked down the ages. All those who will come and believe and trust in him, that on the cross he died for me, took my sins. I believe it. I believe that the sinless Son of God was made sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is gospel. No other gospel. This is God's method. And when you understand, you say, Lord, thank you. So here I say, dear friends, depend not on your own good deeds. When I was young, we used to take a train from Kluang to Singapore to school. And on the way, it stops here and there. When it stops, you know, I used to see people go down from the train and then they release wild animals, turtles, tortoises, into the jungle. I say, why do you do it? Ah, that is to promote life. Ah, to show mercy to that poor turtle. It's in captivity. I let that thing go. I gain credit so that in the next world I'll get some goodness shown to me. Foolish, dear friends. Christ died for us, took our sins. And by that faith in him, on the cross he took away that sin, and that is effective. No other way, only one way. Look to him in faith and say, Lord, I believe you died for me. That's all. He said, how can it be? Yes, God did it for you, for me. So tonight, as we think of these things, let us ponder. How shall I live my life? Do you have a life of prayer? There in the garden, Peter, James and John, the three most trusted inner circle disciples, Jesus favored them. Come with me. Come with me. Now you pray while I go yonder and pray also. And each time he comes back, they were asleep. But I say, I trust you and I will never fail the Lord in that way. Do you have a time of prayer every day? One day I did a little survey in Calvary in Jurong. Before this was built, we were in Jurong. And I asked my members, how is your prayer life? How often do you pray? And I was a little bit taken aback, because many of the members said, yes, I pray when there is a problem. Otherwise, why pray? What for? What is prayer, dear friends? When we think of Jesus going into the garden and there agonize and say, Lord, Father in heaven, not my will, but yours be done. Will you please take this away from me? I don't like it. It is so filthy and so painful to bear the sins of all the people in the world. This is what he did for you and for me. Now Jesus says, pray with me 1 hour. A brief 1 hour. For me, prayer time, 10 minutes maybe. If I sit and pray, maybe 20 minutes. How about you? Some people pray lying down, and before they know anything, they are asleep already. How about yours? Do you have a prayer time? I mean, be honest. Jesus says, watch and pray, that you fall not into temptation. What is to watch? To be alert, to be awake. You cannot pray when you are asleep, you know. So I say, as we come to the conclusion of tonight's message, thinking of Jesus going through the agony in the garden before he faced the betrayal, the mockery of a trial, the condemnation, the execution, and the painful death on the cross. But praise God, you know what happened? Yes, he was buried. And the third day, according to his prophecy, by God's wonderful power, he was raised to life again, a wonderful Savior for you and for me. And he says, in me you have life everlasting. How wonderful. The joy of salvation, the assurance of victory over sin and death is yours and mine. Let us think over it. Do you have a time of contemplation? Are there times when you take off? Think of our Lord Jesus. On the busiest day, he'll pray into the night before he retires. And before the next day, he says, he rose a great deal of time before dawn, a great while before dawn. And he went to a solitary praise place. There he prayed. That is our Lord's prayer. And he was the Son of God. It just shows the necessity. If he needed to pray in order to get the wisdom and the power to resist temptation, how about you and me? Learn to pray. Thinking of Jesus' agony, it's all very easy, sit down there, but promise the Lord, I will pray. Oh Lord, give to me the desire to pray, to commune with you, to speak with you, to tell you all my concerns. That's what the Lord Jesus is for. He's waiting for you, for me, that we may pray to him. Do you? Do you have a prayer life? Oh, dear friends, make that prayer life an experience, a daily experience of power and joy and spiritual growth and progress and blessing. God will bless you and me.